That usually happens anyway. So. That's how he works. You're very welcome to join tomorrow morning as well if you're free. It is a public holiday. So if you want to come, we begin at 9 o'clock. Then there's a bit of a break. Then after that, we meet again. And it will be really, really challenging to discover the other aspects of it all. One of those things when 100 pairs of eyes look at a person and a computer, and it seems to take even longer than ever. This is called hupomone in action, you know, under tremendous pressure. Where's Rachel? Can come. You do that all the time. So they read, sir. Okay, I need to go down all the way down. All the way down. To the YAG, go down for me. YAG seminar on. Put phone this one. 2. Yeah. Yeah, version 2.
Can you give me a mouse?
Can you?
You will not be able to see the computer because the wires are short.
So I can see it like this, eh? Okay. No, I'll just work with you. I'll just make the adjustments. So, reading it. Does it go?
Okay.
It's going to go down all the way down. Yeah, it's 30, I think, 30, 31. Yep. Okay, good. Okay. Can you make it bigger? I just walk with this, is fine. No need. Yeah, that's fine. Can you see? Huh? Small and large. Make it 500 points. Except, how about 2,000? Okay. And all the typo also wrong. Can be seen. Can? Okay. Well, thank you for your patience. Appreciate it. I'm so sorry. It takes a little bit of time. I will try not to take longer too. Okay, but tomorrow is a holiday, so it's all right, isn't it? Okay. So we'll just work with it. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how to find that which we need to make our life fruitful, truly fruitful. Help us to leave no stone unturned, to discover how we can become fruitful in our faith, in our life, in our ministry. Open our understanding, we pray, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just to help those who were not here for the last, or all the sessions, in our study of this whole subject of how to be fruitful, we explored quite a number of factors. We explored this whole idea of the human element. And we said that if a person desires to be fruitful, you have to plan to be fruitful. Because fruitfulness does not come about just like that. It doesn't come about automatically. It doesn't come about by chance. You have to look at fruitfulness as a result of your planning. Now, it is a little known fact, unfortunately, but it is a vital thing to know that we are looking at the human element. Now, we're looking at this whole idea of human beings needing to do another thing, and that is to pray. I don't know whether you ever pray to be fruitful. Well, you should. Because if you don't ask to be fruitful, you won't be. I mean, that's the size of it. You want to take time to think about it very, very carefully. Then we considered the fact that life is not so simple. And we say that you need to consider what we call other vital factors, of which we singled out perseverance. And we said that this is so important if you really want to succeed. Then we said that there is another part we must learn, and that is to cultivate a skill of problem solving. And there is much we can learn, much we must learn from the scriptures concerning problem solving. Because God is not going to solve your problems for you. You've got to sit down and say, well, I've got to work this out. I think this is absolutely important. Now, this is our part so far. Tonight, we need to look into another part that once again offers a balance. And that balance is critical. I cannot emphasize this enough. And it's important, this balance must be understood, it must be struck. And this is something that we need to look at. Wonder whether you ever ask for
power.
Now, it seems only as if that pastors ask for that power and the rest no need. So you don't need the power, so you don't have it. Whereas we desperately need the power, we ask for it, and we have it. I'm just wondering whether you should consider this very, very carefully. Okay? And tonight we're going to look into this subject of the power and how, if you really want a fruitful life, you will only find it if you were to find that power of God applied in your life. Now, the moment we talk about the power of God, immediately we have a problem. Don't we? We really have a big problem, and that problem is that we don't really understand it. We associate power if your shadow comes over the person who is sick, the person rises up. That kind of power is one of, with Peter, that's about it. With Paul, it was handkerchiefs. And we say we don't have the power today. Well, wherein is that power? I think that was one of the biggest problems. When we don't understand it, and we limit it to its supernatural thing, we only ask for power when we are desperately sick, and we plead with all our heart that we may be healed. And sometimes the Lord heals us, and we forget soon after, and we are back to square one, powerless. I want to suggest that we all need that power from the Lord, whether you are on the pulpit or whether you are sitting in the pew. We need to know that power. Question is, how to find it? Not only is it difficult to find it, I think what's even more difficult is to, after tomorrow, sustain it. I think that's the biggest problem. You know, it's as if you are introduced to that power and then it is gone. Just a little brief moment and then it's all over, back to your old self. I'm just wondering whether we can try. I've been trying so hard to find an explanation, a message that will help you say, so this is power. I understand it finally. I would like to pray for it and from it find fruitfulness. Wouldn't it be great if you could do this? Okay? Now, we have to begin here. How do we comprehend God's promise of power? Now, let's take a look at a few texts over here. I think I'd like you to read the scriptures with me rather than look on the wall. Otherwise, it's terrible. And okay, here we go. In Acts chapter 1. Okay, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. There is that promise of power. You will receive power. Now, interestingly, the word you will receive power is what we call a future passive, which really means that there is an active force outside you, acting upon you, and you are recipients of that power. In other words, this power is external to you. You cannot just simply say, take a deep breath, oof, and then power comes. No, that's qigong. That is not what it is all about. Okay, so we are now looking at this power. You shall receive this power. You are the recipient. It's going to be poured into you. Now tonight, think of yourself as that which will receive. Okay, now think about this very, very hard. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Now that's the key person. And you shall be witnesses to me. So this is the first part of it. Now in 2 Corinthians, Paul understands this. And he raises a very, very conscious tension. On the one hand, in verse 7, we are but earthen vessels. So this paradox will always exist. You will never feel powerful. You will never be powerful in yourself. But the power will be there. How about that? A power without making you feel powerful. This is the tension that Paul noted in his life and ministry. Chapter 4 and verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's interesting. Same word, by the way. Same word, power. And this is the paradox that very few of people actually comprehend. We like to feel powerful. But we're not. We never will be. How do we overcome this problem? Actually, we can't overcome it. It's going to be there. And that's where sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Because on the one hand, we wanted power. On the other hand, we are weak. And the feeling of weakness overwhelms us. And the power is not understood. And is not appropriated. Is not realized. And we've lost that battle. Okay, so you've got to watch this tension. Because this tension actually exists. Okay? But is this something that we need to, as again, comprehend? We do. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, a text where we were supposed to have memorized some time back, Paul prays. He prays that the believers at Ephesus would actually comprehend. And he puts it this way. But you may know, okay, eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. And then he makes a list of things that they ought to know. In verse 19, he says, you must know this one very much. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now that is really, really such a thing. You see, it's important. There is that power. It is so great. Paul talks about the greatness of his power. You know, if I had power, if I were to throw this pen, and I throw it, I don't know whether I would be able to reach the wall. I wouldn't want to try it though. You think I could reach? I can hit it and throw the wall? You think? Now I know that I can't do that with a piece of tissue. I'll try, okay? Let's see how far I will go. And not very good. If I were to flick it, it might go a little bit there. Okay? Now we're talking about greatness here. It's interesting Paul's way of looking at it. Okay? The word here that would describe this power that we're talking about would be, if I can throw it and it will actually smash through it outside. I will give you an idea of the greatness of that power. Because there are two words here. It's a word that talks about the throwing of such power. It's amazing what that power is. It's so hard to describe this power. But this is what he's talking about. The greatness of, exceeding greatness of this power. That's what we are looking at. Okay? And it's something that we need to consider. Very, very... It's just so great that it's difficult to describe it. There is... The power of God is by itself, by nature of it, is great. But we're trying to describe super greatness. Greatness, it's absolutely amazing. That's what we are talking about here. Now, okay. Now in verse chapter 3, a passage we are now memorizing in church, it seems we're only memorizing, but we're not experiencing it. Paul says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I like this word. Exceedingly abundantly. The same hyper word is here. But it is really beyond what we could imagine. Abundantly above all we ask or think. What could it be? I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And Paul tells us, and Jesus describes it, and he says, this power is all yours. It's just amazing. If this power is all ours, then how come we're so weak? Now, I'm serious. Why are we so weak? It doesn't make sense somewhere, somehow. So it's very, very important that we want to consider this. So tonight, I would like to take up this study and say, if we are ever going to be truly fruitful, we will need to tap this power, obviously. There's just no other way. This would be something we need to consider very, very carefully. How do we do this? Now, I'm not going to look into this power thing that, you know, we're going to heal. Once, and I was traveling from the U.S. back to home to Singapore, there was this lady who slouched, you know, not too many people, so she slouched 3 or 4 seats. And I said, excuse me, you are taking my seat. Grouchy, grumpy, she's been traveling for so long. Then she noticed I was sniffling. And she said, you know, I can heal you. I don't know why she said that. I said, why do you think I need to be healed? She said, there you see, you've got a nose and all that. I can heal you. No, I just lay hands on you. I just want you to just get out of my seat. No need you to heal me. Just get. Anyway, the stewardess came along to sort it out. She says, look, you can take the other 4. But I don't know how to go and lie down and let the 4. I have never, you know, even though it's available, I just don't know how to just lie down the other 4. I just cannot imagine how. But there she was sleeping. What is that power? And she associated this with wanting to heal me. I wanted to tell her, how come you're wearing spectacles? But she was Caucasian. She looked stronger than me. Was in their country and didn't want to stir up trouble. But, you know, what is this power that we're talking about? Why do we associate it with all these things? Okay, now let's take a look at chapter 4. And let's talk about this power. And appreciate this power from a different angle tonight. In verse 13, here is Peter, here is John. Okay? By the way they spoke, they were obviously not very educated. You know what the non-educated person is called? Agrammatai. Agrammar means you don't even have the basic. Okay? Not because no grammar. It's just basic. You know, if you really have got... You know, you can tell whether the person has or doesn't have. It's very... Okay? It's something that we need to think about very carefully. And there we go. But when they noticed that they were not only not educated, they were unskilled. They were really, really unskilled people. They marvel. How come people who don't go to university, how come people who are not gone through the usual seminary education, how is it that these people have such boldness? Now, I don't know whether you realize how difficult it is to come up to the pulpit and then to speak. I would not want to say, try. Pulpit not for trying. But it is a really challenging thing to go up there and, you know, you have to look at this boldness. What if we were to say that power produces this boldness? Because that's what it is. You cannot just, one moment they were in locked doors, behind locked doors, and then the next moment they are right up in the front of everybody, speaking to people who this is not afraid of them, not intimidated by them, and that's amazing. One of the most challenging things to do is to speak and not be afraid of speaking to people who are seminary professors and mean college to seminary students who are trying to pick up every word you say and find fault with you. That was my experience when I lectured at a university, at one of the Korean seminary universities combined together. And I was going to give a series of lectures using the Greek language. And I felt comfortable suddenly because I didn't have to speak Korean. And I used a Greek text which they didn't know anything about very much. But seriously, it was challenging because I knew that there were a few of them. Some of them had PhDs from Chicago University. And some of them were really, really good in their work. And I was going to argue a case. And they were very, very concerned what I was going to speak on, because there is this Korean concept called Korean wins Korean. And I was going to preach on a concept of what I call the Antiochian model. And they asked me, please send the material over. They want to study. And then after they studied, they asked each other, do you want him to come? Because this is really, really non-Korean. You know, I understood how that felt. You know, you are a little bit concerned, a little bit scared. But boldness must come. That boldness must come also when the first time you take out idols from the shelf. And you are almost afraid that something might jump out at you. You know, you just look at it and say, oh dear, what shall I do? And there are times when people hand me stuff. And there was one man who handed me a knife. And he says, this knife cost me $2,000. And you take care of it. It's very magic, full of magic. I took it and I threw it away. You know, I would love to keep all those things, you know, because then I would have a whole room full of paraphernalia. All sorts of stuff. You'd be surprised what people give to me. I don't know why. They think that, you know, you're a pastor, so you don't be afraid. You know, nothing will happen to you. I hope. But there has got to come boldness. And this boldness, I mean, I had to overcome. When I was a kid, I was scared. I had big pockets. All sorts of stuff inside. I had garlic. I had onions for good measure, rabbit's food, and a lot of other stuff just in case I meet something along the way that would maybe stronger than me. And it was difficult until I learned what that power was, and boldness came in instead. And it's important that we learn how to find this boldness. You know, with boldness came something else. They noted that they were unlearned
And with boldness, they began to realize that they were able to put Scripture with Scripture together. There was ability. There was skill. I mean, this is something that is amazing. You know, these were not seminary men. These were not trained in the usual way. But suddenly, they are there. What if this power that we're talking about is actually able to give you the necessary ability, that skill? And we go on further in chapter 6 now. Chapter 6, and in verse 8, we read, Stephen, full of faith and power, of course he did great wonders and signs among the people. But in verse 10, we read, they were not able to resist the wisdom. There we go. The wisdom, the Sophia of the Spirit with which he spoke. He spoke with such wisdom. He spoke with such alacrity. He spoke with such ability and skill as all of the others were able to. Now, if you have one person, maybe just one. If they were apostles, well, maybe they're special, they're apostles. But Stephen is not. He just came onto the scene. And before you know it, he too had this same power, this same faith, this same wisdom and skill. What if the power that we are talking about are these things? I'm serious. I mean, it will apply wonderfully in everything you do if you find this to be real in your life. It would be just really, really wonderful. And I want to ask you to look at these things here because I really think that this is what we have as fruit. It is knowledge becoming fruits in a form of ability, in a form of skill, in a form of boldness, in a form of wisdom. And you suddenly realize that this power is possible after all. Now let me go on further to look at this power here. In another way, what if this power enables us now to touch lives? You look at how in Peter preached in chapter 2, the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, we read, and when they heard this, verse 37, in verse 37, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, I mean, we are talking about thousands of people, suddenly their lives were touched. Now that's power. That's real power. To touch lives so deeply. Now I don't know where suddenly we read in chapter 2 that 3,000, verse 41, we have a massive ministry, multitudes. Peter has never done this before. This was his first gospel campaign. This was his first attempt at public speaking. And he suddenly saw this. And what is absolutely amazing. And of course we know that he extended this further to a lot of these things. Verse 46, they continued daily, one accord in the temple, and they just kept growing. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What if power is stamina? What if power is really what it is? I mean, it is. Is it Duracell or is it Eveready? It goes on and on and I like the advertisement, you know. Is it Duracell? And it's just really amazing. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And all the others dropped out. And there we go. And that is amazing. That is that stamina there. What if that power is stamina? There is no glow over our head. There is no halo. But there we go, and that stamina is there. And suddenly, they have never looked after, they have looked after 12 baskets of extra fish. Feeding 5,000 people here and there, but mostly like sandwich bar, lunch bar. But this is 5,000, 3,000 men later on at another. And we're talking increase. We're not only talking about the men, not counting the women and the children. And if you have half the children, it will be a hands full, because it is really, really challenging. Where did he get all this knowledge and wisdom and everything else? If that's not power, I don't know what is. But that is power. And if we can just find this power for our life and ministry, it would be good. Remember we talk about this power? What if this power is exactly what it is? It is supreme, it is supernatural, it is beyond what we ask or think. The muscles of Peter remain the same. Did not get bigger. But it's important. Okay? It's not Superman. He's still the same ordinary person. How many of you like Superman? I like. I like. Oh, John, we are good friends. We're the only two who like. But John, have you ever asked yourself why he wore his underwear outside? And I was very disturbed when somebody said that to me, because that was what I like. Suddenly they said something which I didn't like. Why did he wear? I have no answer to that. I really have no answer why he did that. But who cares? Yeah, who cares? He's still Superman. If he's super, he's entitled to whatever he wants to do. That's okay. But that's that power that is there in real life. In real life. It's not the force of the speeding bullet. What is that? Is it an aeroplane? No, it's Superman. And it's not that. It is just simply this hour of the power of the Lord. It is just something really, really special. I wonder whether you understood power from this angle. Remember what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Okay? Now, this is important that you really want to look at very carefully. Now, I'm going to look at this here with you. I think we all are familiar with this. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is in terms of power. It is in terms of touching not the tongue to speak, but to, like a computer, suddenly put it inside you with all the vocabulary inside, all the grammatical paradigm, plus all the vocabulary, plus all the language pattern, zip it into your brain, and then you can speak. Now that is what I would love. There's no need to go and spend so many years studying Greek slowly, bit by bit, paradigm after paradigm. Oh, it is so hard. Every single word, memorized, 200 forms. That's how many. That's terrible. And some of the forms are really and really weird stuff. And then you have a vocabulary of 1,000 words times 200. It's just mind-boggling. How nice you just sip it in it. That's it. That's power. But more than just that knowledge part of it, to me, what really amazes me is how Peter and all the others can bear witness so effectively just like that. You go down there, you drool, Oh, to have such power. Oh, to have such ability and skill and wisdom and knowledge. But if I cannot find it supernaturally, can I still find it ultimately? So mine was a slow path, the long path, and everybody else has had to walk the long path ever since then. But it is possible. How wonderful it is to be able to think about how the Lord will help us, because He will give to us His Spirit. And of course we know that He, the Spirit of God, filled the lives of people, and this promise is given to everybody. Now, tonight, I want to raise some of this question. Okay? Now, we cannot afford to have wrong ideas to have ignorance about the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want to move on from here. All these things here, I want to raise the question of what it means for us to really understand the power of the Spirit of God in our life. Okay? First, there is that indwelling. Every believer has the Holy Spirit indwelling him. But that indwelling and that infilling are two separate things entirely. So you are sitting on a potential thing. You know, in America, there was this guy who had a big ranch, and he was a dirt farmer, and he really, really didn't know how to make his crops grow better, and he was about to give up. When somebody said, why don't you sell it to me? I will sell it to you. I buy it for you at a very good price. And he asked, why? I've been failing. I've had the ground being looked after. And why do you want to buy at a good price? And what is your good price? So he said, well, I think you have black gold in your land. I think we can find oil here. The man said, what? Really? And so he said, okay. I will let you have this land, but I want in. He never need to work the rest of his life, because they found that he was able to produce more than 1,000 barrels a day. And it will last years. You know, that's what we are sitting on. That's what we are really sitting on. Here we are trying to plant something that will barely grow. Even the fig tree won't grow. And there is the potential of the Spirit of God inside us, waiting for you to understand Him, waiting for you to pray, waiting for you to desire this power before He gives it to you. I remember one pastor, he said to me, he said, I want you to remember this truth. The Holy Spirit that is in the life of Paul and Peter is the same Holy Spirit inside a child. And it is not a small Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, small one, he goes to this baby one. Then the adult one, he gives a bigger Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit. And that hit me. That struck me so hard. If that is true, then I want that power too. And all my life, I have been seeking this power. So I needed to learn lots of things. This is how you learn. You learn about the law of the Spirit. There is a way in which the Holy Spirit works. You must know that law. Okay? And this is very important. You've got to learn how to walk according to His leading. You need to know how to find life from Him. Now, let's turn to Romans 8. Reading like this won't, no fun. Let's turn to the Scriptures and take a look at this laws of the Spirit of God. Okay, now let's take this word law here and maybe understand it. Someone was asking, how come John Newton discovered the law of gravity faster than the Chinese? Since everybody is talking about China now, everything is so fast. And he says the Chinese would have found it if he dared to sit under the durian. But because the thing was the durian, he did not dare to sit. That's why he was slower. The law of gravity. Now, I dropped this. It dropped, right? I dropped this again. It drops again, right? I do this a million times. A million times, it will be the same. I drop this until my hand drops off. It will still drop down. It won't drop up. Right? In other words, the Spirit of God and the way He works, according to this law, if He does it in the life of Peter and Paul and James and John or anybody else, that same law works, will work for us. If we have to understand this, we have to understand this law and appreciate what it means. In Romans 8, in verse 4, talking about those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is interesting, this whole idea of walking. Walking literally means that you just have to do it. You know, it has to be practiced in your life. If you do not practice, you're not going to walk. Let us say that Jesus made a man take up your bed and walk. The man took up his bed and sat and did not walk. Then he won't walk. He's got to walk. That's the same thing. Knowing is one thing. Believing is another. Walking is a third, not the same. You can know, you can believe, and not walk. And that is what we need to do. Walk according to the Spirit of God and His leading. 8, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10. The Spirit is life. If Christ is in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, I just think it is wonderful to be as old as I am and to actually be able to to walk, speaking to doctors for a while, and she says, I'm just so thankful I can walk at all. I appreciate that. And I'm glad you learned this lesson when you're so young. But what if we just are able to find life? And I pondered this on this text for so long. And what does it mean if Christ is in you and there is life and He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life also to you. Now, is He only talking about spiritual life? If so, then why want to talk about the mortal bodies? But if it is not spiritual life alone, but just life causing through you, then we are talking physical life as well, through your normal body. In other words, we are to have energy and life not only spiritually, but physically, each day. There is no reason why we should not have energy poured into our life for living. Each day, every day, until the time comes for us to go home to be with the Lord. What a thrill this is. What a thrill this is. I mean, really, really wonderful to see this. Okay? 26, 27, chapter 8. We have to move very quickly. Okay? Otherwise, we'll be here until 11 o'clock. Likewise, we read in verse 26, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And this is really, really, this word helps is a, it's a really, really interesting word. It's a very complex word. Here is English word help. The Greek word is so long. It's sun antilambano for one word called help. Now, this word help is a very interesting word. Somebody said, put it this way. This is a huge log. And it requires one person cannot carry it. You must have two persons carrying it in order to move this log. This is how the Spirit of God comes in to help. You carry some, He will carry with you. This is the word help. There is a partnership here. There really is a partnership here. And there it goes. You know, when I was younger, I always hoped that somebody would, you know, would help me, would mentor me, would teach me, who would give me insight, who would help me. I never had that. And I determined that what I did not have, I want to give to other people. And you cannot understand the joy that I have when I can tell a young person, a younger person, I'm just about the oldest person here anyway, so I can say all young people here, and tell everybody here, actually I am the oldest here, so anyway, so, I mean, you know, to say to all the younger people, you know, I would just love to mentor you, guide you, help you, teach you, and so on and so forth. This is the word help. It really, it's an amazing word. But you got to want to do, you got to be one, you got to want to be helped. This is a wonderful word. And the Spirit of God helps us. Now, here comes the answer to many, many questions. How will I know what fruits to bear in my life? There we have it. You have a cluster of wonderful fruit. Okay, and let's call this, every time you have a fruit there, okay, there are nine. Try to take grapes in terms, in multiples of nine. And then memorize love, joy, peace, long suffering, and you carry on, and it's wonderful. I mean, seriously, to be able to produce this thing is very hard. You try and produce this sense of love. You go and try. The moment you ask for that love, somebody in the office will offend you. Somebody will make you get angry. And you ask for joy, and things will upset you. I mean, you know how it is. Sometimes it really, really is sad. That's amazing. And you want to have peace of heart, and there are things that will disturb you. You want to be long-suffering, instead you are impatient. You want to be kind, but you are nasty. Right? And you want to try to be good, you turn out bad. You read Sunday Times, the cartoon, the fish, he said he ate a man. And he said, I couldn't stand it, you know, because he was cooking and he smelled garlicky and everything else. I just ate him. And nowadays the English is, it was my dad. You shudder at such language. But now it is accepted. We call it my dad. I still don't know how to write like that. I can understand it better now, but it's terrible. How about my good? This is goodness. We're talking about fruit or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. What if this would be our fruit? And the Spirit of God will produce all these things inside us. One at a time, two at a time, but a whole cluster full. Would it be wonderful? The last one is the hardest, especially at Bethany. Self-control. It is so hard. And if you have no self-control, how about this as a spirit? I mean, as a fruit of the Spirit. That's really wonderful. You try. It is really, really wonderful to be able to see this. Now, I'm going to take you other expressions of fruit. Okay? And here we go. What if you are the only Christian in the family, what if God wants you to be the first fruit of the family? And so they look at you and they say, oh, so this is what a Christian is like. And you are first fruit. And you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all the other fruits inside you. And they say, boy, I like that. We were meant to be first fruits where there are no fruits. You know, I don't know why people like to say, please ask the pastor to come and to they talk. He talks better. Not necessarily, you know. You are first fruit. You know what fruit is like, right? Fruit is where people can pluck and eat. The tree does not produce fruit to consume for itself. It's for others. I have never seen a vine eating its own grapes. It can't. It was meant for other people. You were meant to be first fruit for others to consume. They take a look at you and they say, if they spit you out, because you are sour, you are really, this will be bad. But if you, you're so good, the person bites his own lips because you're so good. Well, that would be something else. Fruit. Okay? You know, one of the things I really enjoy about Bethany on Sunday worship is this one. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, I'm serious. How wonderful it is to be able to say, Lord, we praise You, and we express it in song, and it is such a joy. And do you know that when we praise the Lord, we are offering a fruit. We are literally offering a fruit of our lips. And it is a wonderful thing to do, be able to do this. And then we have another fruit. Now, you're talking about fruit, right? You've been asking, what's my fruit? What's my fruit? And it's very important. Here we go. Cedric came to ask me. He said, Pastor, you talk about old people. Can I come and be with the old people? And I say, yeah, if you can care for them. I mean, not once in a while, because as old people, you come once in a while, they forget you already. This week they say your name is Selig. Then they come. Next week is something else. They won't know how to pronounce your name. They will, Cedric, very hard. Selig, okay. You say, all right, whatever. A boy, okay, also. And you don't mind, and you have to be there every Sunday. And you can say, you know who I am? No, no. And you know, well, I told you 10 times already. You don't know. Look, they are old. And you really want to expect they will remember you. You can't. You give them your photograph, they forget where they put it. I mean, it's a real problem. It's something that we all have. Sometimes you take medicine, and you ask yourself, did I take? It is scary, you know. Growing old is no fun. And you really have all sorts of problems and difficulties. Where we go, look at this. This is another type of fruit. I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints. Look at this. When I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit. Caring for other people in their need, in their poverty, in this is also fruit. He sealed for them this fruit. Now, what are we seeing all this idea of fruit? Okay, go on further. Paul wrote to the Philippians when they gave him a gift. You see, you all have all the different types of tea, fruit. And then you also benefit from the thing here. But Paul says, when he received the support from the Philippian church, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And that's another challenging way of looking at fruit. And it is really wonderful. How wonderful it is to know that this is possible. Okay? Now, tonight I must ask you, as I come to... I want to be very conscious. I don't want to take you too long. You've been a whole day of working. Have you discovered the power of God? No, seriously. And have you discovered the power of God? Supposing, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2 for a while. Okay, we turn to the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2. And this has always been so intriguing to me. In chapter 2, Elijah asks Elisha. In verse 9, he said, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And we read, Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing." Now, if you were to compare this request with that of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, in 1 Kings chapter 2. Okay? And we see Solomon asking from the Lord that special gift. It's the third chapter, not chapter 2, but chapter 3. And verse 9. And Solomon said, "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." And the speech pleased the Lord. Two offers, two requests, they were separate things. Elisha did not ask for wisdom. Not that he had plenty of it, or he didn't need it. But it's just different. And it's important for us to put the two together, to study them, and say to ourselves, one asked for wisdom, one asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, which is really the spirit of God in him. And they all recognize that the spirit of Elijah is in him. Of course, it is not really the spirit of Elijah, then his departed spirit entered into him. Not that kind of spirit. But the idea is that the spirit behind Elijah is the same spirit now that will come upon Elisha. Now, so I raise a question tonight before we close.
what would you ask from the Lord? We talk about planning. We talk about praying. We talk about pruning. We talk about perseverance. We talk about the power of the Spirit of God. They're all different. Solomon asked for wisdom. Elisha asked for, this is important, he asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God. You know, it is harder to imagine, it's harder to ask than most people imagine. But if you had, if you were to request and you say, you are given this request, I mean, you're given this offer tonight and you may request, what would you request? The student would say, I want to pass all my exams. Is that all? Okay, you pass the exam. Is that all? Pretty short-lived. Because once the exams are over, that is over too. What is it? What would you ask? Now, I'm not going to give you answers. Tonight, for you to think, what would you ask? Can I suggest to you that the clue lies in what Elijah said to Elisha? In 2 Kings chapter 2, he said to him, you ask a hard thing. Really, think about this. Someone said, put it this way, we often ask that we may have strength equal to the task. Why don't we ask for tasks equal to our strength? And if that strength is great, so will the task be. And if the strength promised from the Lord is so tremendous, then we can attempt many things. Many more things. What would you ask for? No, seriously. If you were to, tonight you ask yourself, what would you ask? Can I ask you, ask something hard. Please don't ask something simple. And don't ask something stupid. I really fear that a lot of times when we ask things from the Lord, we are really, really, really stupid. I mean, why do we want to ask for something really stupid? What would you ask? What would you ask for? Seriously. You know, I look at all of you and I don't know what I would ask for in your time. But let us say that you ask for a double portion of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? We don't even know what we're asking for. Let's say that you ask for a double portion of that Spirit. What does that mean? Elisha lived with Elijah long enough to know what he was asking for. He knew that life out in the wilderness is really tough. He knew that living in the realm of Ahab, living in the realm of a bad king, is hard. He knew that to lead a band of prophets is hard. He knew that if he were to attempt to step into the shoes of a man called Elijah, it would be hard. He could not ask for a lesser ministry. And so he asked, give me a double portion of your Spirit. Now you can ask. It is not follow that God will give it to you.
But God will indicate to you. He will indicate to you if you will find it. But it is only an indication. So Elijah said to him, "If you see me, depart." Perhaps. So we read. Okay? "If you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Ask anyway." Then it happened as they continued on and talked. Then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out. And he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." Do you understand what he's talking about? He wasn't saying, "Boo-hoo, boo-hoo." He died. He suddenly understood it. My father, what is this idea? The chariot of Israel, his horseman. And he saw him no more. You know, the search for the power of God is a long, difficult, cryptic search. I wish I can tell you immediately, the moment you ask for, it's there. It's not. I wish I can tell you that even if you saw this power, these things, you will now be assured of it. Do you know when you will have this power? When you can suddenly comprehend. When you can suddenly comprehend Elijah's role all this time. When you can understand what is the significance of what it means for him to see the chariots of Israel and his husband. He will one day teach his servants, "There are more of these chariots and horsemen than you realize." You know what it means? His spiritual understanding and insight has now been opened. He is now enlightened as never before. He has gone beyond knowledge, beyond wisdom, to a state of enlightenment which he has never had before. That is the task of the mentor, of the Spirit of God in particular. And he will reveal, and he will confirm, he will affirm, and he will give this thing to you. Tonight, if you have only one wish, don't waste it. "I wish I go home safely, have a good night's rest." It's gone. Please. Okay. Please ask something hard. Okay? Let the Lord be impressed with you. And what would you ask? Solomon asked. And he said, "You know, let me. Can I ask you, can I guide you as to how you can ask and ask properly?" Part of the asking has to do with your understanding. Part of the asking has to do with your need. It's interesting how they go together. He who is hungry, he will ask for food. He who is. So Satan tempted Jesus. Ask. He will not ask for food. What about riches and wealth, everything else? He will not ask for those things either. Go ahead. I'll give it to you. He will not. What would you ask for? It is a more complex question than you imagine. What would you ask for? How would you answer tonight? I hope you will really sit down and think about it. And if you walk out of here, by the time you go home, you have forgotten this message, then it would be sayonara. Some other time, perhaps this may be given to you to answer again. But it's gone. It's gone. You know how many times we are offered this from time to time. We look at these things here. I cannot tell you the number of times when such thought comes to my mind. When I began ministry, I asked for this. Along the way, I asked for another thing. Now, towards the evening years of life now, and suddenly you begin to ask for something else. I know I ask for knowledge. I know I ask for wisdom. And I've gone beyond asking for that. What would you ask for? What would you ask for? I hope you will ask the right thing. Take time to ponder. Take time to think over all these things. And then God asked Solomon, what would you request? What can I do for you? Elijah said to him, what would you like to ask? Please don't feel I feel so shy, I'm so embarrassed, cannot ask. Stop it. You, nothing to be embarrassed about. You ask. Now, exceedingly above, abundantly above all that we ask or think. So please don't ask something simple. I mean it. If you were to ask for a life partner, that would be simple, ordinary. Because everybody has one, just about. I mean that. Okay? I mean that. I don't mean, please ask for something hard. What is it? I can't tell you. Because Solomon asked for one thing, Elisha asked for another. Both were granted. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. Elisha wrote nothing. He was not a writing prophet. But when he crosses the Jordan, he walks on dry ground. Solomon didn't. What would you ask for? Seriously, what would you ask for? Don't be quick in your answer. Take time, think, ponder, meditate, and ask, what would you ask for? Ask a hard thing, and may God grant you your requests. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you for the challenge tonight that we have read from your word. A challenge we know we cannot take easily for granted. And what we have read from your scriptures and what we've heard tonight adds on to what we have heard previously. And every one is important. We recognize that we must do our part, planning, praying, in being pruned, what it means for us to have a persevering spirit, what it means to learn how to solve problems, what it means tonight to fathom the power of the Spirit of God. We know not what we should ask for immediately. We ask you to open our understanding, speak to our hearts, that we may know what we ought to ask for, and then ask that from you with faith, with humility, with a desire to bear fruit. Lord, hear this our prayer. Bring us home safely. May we think about what we have heard tonight much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here.